Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
You're listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. Brighten your day with a book.
Hello, my fellow bookworms. This is Philippa from QuickBook Reviews, author interviews and book reviews. How are you doing today? I'm having a day and a half. You know those days where you wake up and you just know it's not going to go well. And today's not been going well. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong, apart from the interview that I've just done. So thank goodness for that. But I've got something happening later on today that is, for me, a very, very big deal. In fact, I'm just checking my email now just to check it's still happening because I'm so nervous that something is going to go wrong with this thing. No, it's still all happening. So there's something happening later today that is a very big deal for me. And it's fair to say the old nerves have kicked in, guys. And you know when you're just tired, you've not had enough sleep, you're feeling very nervous, you're just not at the top of your game. And things are therefore going wrong. And I haven't had a biscuit yet today. I haven't had a cup of tea or coffee. I need to remedy all of this. So the next time I talk to you, things will be calmer. It'll all be good. You've got to challenge yourselves. You've got to do these things that take you out of your comfort zone, haven't you? Basically, this afternoon, your girl's going to the BBC. And if someone said to me, oh, it's cancelled, it's not happening now, I would be really disappointed. But equally, I'm at that point where, you know, I'm not breathing properly. And I need to just, I just need to calm down. I'll just all let it get too much. And there we go. So, yes, this is what's happening today. Your girl's on a downward spiral. Things are not good. But I bring you some faves and a flop. There's two faves and one flop. We've got three books today. And let me just tell you what those books are. So the first one is Open Minded by Chloe Seeger. And Chloe's coming on. And I really can't wait for you to hear more about this book because I enjoyed it. The next book is The Spy Coast by Tess Gerritsen. And the final book, I'm not going to tell you what that is, actually, until we get to the flop element, Flop City, because I don't want to give the game away on that one too much too soon. So let's get started on Open Minded by Chloe Seeger. And let me read you the blurb on this one. After 9 years of dating, Holly is sure her boyfriend Will is going to propose. But instead of popping the question, he shocks her by suggesting they open their relationship to date other people. For the last 3 years, Fliss and her boyfriend Ash have been in a happily open relationship. But now that they're turning 30, he wants to close it, throwing Fliss's whole ethos of living life on her terms rather than society's expectation. When Fliss overhears Holly crying in the toilet during her first date in 9 years, they decide to ditch their dates and have dinner together. They strike up an instant friendship with Fliss agreeing to teach Holly everything she knows about being in an open relationship, while Holly, who's been with one person for almost a decade, can help Fliss try monogamy. Fliss is willing to give up dating other people if it means staying with Ash, and Holly's willing to try anything if it means she gets her happy ending with Will. But perhaps both Fliss and Holly will learn there's no one size fits all when it comes to relationships. Why did I enjoy this book? I really enjoyed this book. I hadn't read the blurb. I knew I needed to read it because I was interviewing Chloe. So I just jumped in. And straight away, I liked the characters. I liked the way it was written. It wasn't one of these books where it's all about the romance. Yes, it is about that. But for me, it was about the characters themselves. I liked the light humour that wove its way through. I liked the other characters. And I just found the story very endearing. And yeah, it's really well written. It had the pace to it. Yeah, bravo. Very good. That's all I can say, except let's go and talk to Chloe now. It is my huge pleasure to welcome today Chloe Seeger, whose book is called Open Minded. Chloe, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
It's good to talk to you, Chloe. I sat down to read this book and I hadn't really read much about the blurb, and I'm not one for all types of genres. I loved this book. It had
Thank you so much. Really, really good.
But for those who haven't read the book or heard about it, can you tell us a little bit about the story?
Sure. So it's about two women who are kind of in polar opposite situations. So on the one hand, you've got Holly, who's been with her partner for 9 years. She's turning 30. She thinks he's going to propose, but instead he asks her to be in an open relationship. And then you've got Fliss, also turning 30. She's been with her partner, Ash, in an open relationship for 3 years. And one day he surprises her by asking if they can close their relationship. So yeah, as I say, totally different situations. And they run into each other in a ladies' bathroom where Holly is on her first date in about 10 years. She's really upset and they get talking and kind of agree to, I guess, mentor each other. That's the wrong word, but kind of help each other, you know, in monogamy and non-monogamy, and then end up becoming friends. So yeah, in a nutshell, that's what it's about.
And for me as well, this book is about the characters. It's about these two women and just how they feel about themselves as well, and each other and all that they're going through. Did the two characters come to you both at the same time, or how did that story appear to you?
Oh, that's an interesting one. I think, how did the characters come to me at the same time? Actually, I think Holly came first. I think if you think about open relationships, Holly is probably the narrative that your mind goes to, you know, man turning 30, freaking out about getting married, asks reluctant woman if he can be in an open relationship. And I think I'd seen a couple of my friends being in open relationships, and I was in an open relationship at the time. And actually, I hadn't really seen any books that were kind of covering it, or at least if they were covering it, it seemed quite negative, or it kind of seemed like in a very kind of sexy literary novel. And I hadn't really seen any commercial women's fiction that was covering the subject. So I think because I'd seen like a bunch of people go through it and all have very different experiences, I think I thought it would be nice if you had two different perspectives on it, because I think I've never seen it go the same way for any one person. So I guess, yeah, it kind of started with Holly and I guess, as I said, I think she's more the kind of open relationship story you think of. And then Fliss came to me afterwards, and I thought it would be nice to have, yeah, two different perspectives on the same subject kind of coming together.
And may I ask, was your experience of an open relationship a positive one? So were you wanting to get that across, or were there things that you have experienced that you were like, right, we're addressing this?
I think it was largely positive, but it was mixed. But as I say, yeah, largely positive. I think probably I still have mixed feelings about it. I think they can be great, but I think they only work for certain kinds of people and in certain kinds of situations. So I don't know, maybe Holly and Fliss, I think probably like two different sides of me having an argument.
And did you plan the whole story out before you started writing it? Did it change? How did you approach it all?
Yeah, I did. You know, I'm a planner, and actually, I think I don't necessarily plan every single bit of the story, but I think I know where a character's going to start and where a character's going to end up. So I think I knew that, I won't give any spoilers, but yeah, I knew where I wanted both of them to end up. It was kind of more just about how they got there. And then normally I sit down and I write a synopsis out before I actually write the story. I think largely they'll kind of take a few detours, the characters, on the way, but ultimately they always end up kind of where I wanted them to go.
And it's fair to say books are very important to you. Your job, you are an agent, I believe, Chloe. It's, yes, I should be bowing and curtsying to you as we speak. So you must know what makes a good book. And I'm not trying to flatter you. It is a good book. But you must know when a book is good or not and be able to feed that in. Is it therefore easier for you as an agent to write a book than someone who isn't?
I think so, yeah. I think because I spend, as you say, my days looking at synopses and covering letters and reading, it probably helps a lot. I think maybe good at looking for hooks or creating hooks in my books, because I know that that's kind of what's needed, I guess, to stand out in a pile. So I'm looking at 150 a day. I kind of know that it needs a strong hook in order to grab an agent's attention. So yeah, it probably does help. I think as well, if you spend all day reading, probably just naturally, you just will get better. I also think because I work in children's books specifically, children's books have to be quite concise and quite pacey. And I think that's kind of carried over with me into adult books, which actually don't need to be as pacey, because you don't need to hold adults' attention as much as you do kids. But actually, it's funny because sometimes my editors were like, you can flesh this out, you know, this scene. It doesn't need to be like bam, bam, bam the whole time. And I think that's probably something that's just carried over from working with books for a younger audience.
How interesting. Yes, I can see that working well. Has it affected how you handle authors as well, with you being an author?
I think I naturally have a deeper understanding of what they're going through. You know, I think a lot of agenting is kind of hand-holding and you know, dealing with people's freakouts. I mean, it's a very vulnerable thing to write a book and put yourself out there. So yeah, I think being an author as well, it does put me in a unique position. I understand what it feels like.
Well, it seems like this is a great time for you to read us a little bit from the book. You're going to read a bit from chapter one, partway through. Can you just give us a bit of an explanation as to what we're going to be hearing?
Yeah, sure. So this is a bit of a book where Holly has been taken to a fancy restaurant by her partner and she thinks he's about to propose. And he's not. spoiler alert.
Bless.
Okay. Will takes a big gulp and then cracks his knuckles. Holly, he says, I actually brought you here because of something I want to talk to you about. My heart flutters. We're diving straight in then. Oh my God, this is actually happening. Except, no. He wants to talk to me about marriage. That doesn't sound right. I don't have time to process because he keeps speaking. You know how we've always said we might want to explore the world? Maybe learn French? Or how you wanted to teach scuba diving? I frown. I might have said those things in passing once upon a time, way back in our early 20s when I would still attempt to pull off a beret. But I can't remember having any distinct yearning to teach scuba diving. I've never even been scuba diving. What's he talking about? I don't think, I start, but Will cuts me off. He's rocking back and forth in his seat. Do you ever think about those things you really want to do and think, I don't know, that you're running out of time? He's talking quickly, and there's a rehearsed cheer to his tone, like he's giving a sales pitch. If I don't teach scuba diving now, then when? I mean, we are turning 30 this year. Again, I'm horribly confused. I'm running out of time to teach scuba diving? Is he suggesting we quit our jobs and move to Hawaii? Do you want to move, I ask? Are you bored of the UK? Well, he sighs, looking deeply uncomfortable. I'm not sure now would be the best time to take a sabbatical, I reason. We've both worked so hard to get where we are. You only just got this job. I know it's been stressful, but it'll be worth it. It's your dream company. I think if you left now, you'd regret it. Will looks sheepish. He takes another gulp of champagne. Yeah, no, I don't want to leave the country. Oh. Then what on earth is he on about? You know how, he falters. I can see him reaching around inside his mind for the right words. You know how we've both always wondered what it would be like to see other people? I feel like I've just been hit in the back of the head with a really fast, hard ball. I was just sitting in a park, basking in the sunshine. It came out of nowhere, and now my ears are ringing and my eyes sting. We have? My voice is small. I'm dazed. I get the sense the ball isn't all that's coming for me. I'm about to step out into the road and get hit by an oncoming bus.
Fantastic. Thanks so much for that, Chloe. Did the character stay with you after you'd finished writing this book?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I'm a very character-led kind of writer, an agent probably. I think for me, loving a book is all about the voice and the people, and they're kind of what comes first and they're kind of what stay with me afterwards. So yes, definitely. They're still living in my heads.
And if you have all these books to look at as an agent, how did you manage to get this book written? Do you write sort of out of hours? Do you not get any sleep? How do you go about that?
People always ask me that. I think this answer would probably make me incredibly unpopular, but I just think I'm fairly fast writer, actually. So I write in evenings and weekends. But I think once a story is in my head, it kind of just comes out fairly quickly. I think for me, it's getting an idea that's the thing that takes longer and thinking about how it's going to actually get on the page. But then putting it down, once it's all there, it kind of flows relatively quickly. I think it took me about 5 or 6 months to get a first draft of this on kind of evenings and weekends, which is difficult because obviously agenting is not a 9-to-5 job. It takes up a lot of time outside of hours as well. Like, you've got book launches, you've got submissions coming in. We don't really look at submissions on our own time. So, yeah. So I think if I wasn't a fast writer, I don't think it would be possible, basically.
You just kind of had to do that fast writing in order to get the book done. How many edits did you have to do?
We did quite a few edits, actually, probably more than I was anticipating. And actually, the storyline with Fliss changed quite a lot. Uh-huh. And there was a point, I mean, you've read the book, so there's this guy, Rowan, who's kind of her friend slash lover from her past.
Yes.
And in the original draft, she kind of convince herself she's in love with him, which is obviously, they're just obviously not. And my editor kind of pointed that out. And as soon as she said it, she was like, Fliss is too smart to think this. And I was like, she is too smart to think this. So we kind of had to rewrite that entire storyline. So the edits probably ended up taking longer than the first draft, actually.
And as an agent, you must get involved in edits for your authors and you get used to their positive and negative reactions to those edits. How is it for you, going through the same experience?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, you think as an agent, you're like, oh, well, I'm not going to need that many edits. I do this all the time. I know what I'm doing. And then actually when it's your own book, it's completely different. And it's just, you need that objective eye to kind of tell you what's wrong with the book. I mean, it's so easy for me to look at someone else's book and know what's wrong with it. But with your own, it's really hard to see the wood for the trees. But yeah, it is funny being on the other side of it because I think you have that immediate defensive frustration of like, no, you're wrong. And then you sit with it for a bit and then you're like, oh no, they're right. They're right. I see it. So yeah, God bless agents and editors.
So when you'd written your first book, the next author you were dealing with, were you like, I share your pain, you know, I know, I understand the pain of being an author.
Yeah, exactly. And now I'm like, oh God, I don't like to be that person who's like, here, a bunch of work on your precious book. But yeah, it's always better for it in the end. I think the point with agents and editors is they give you these edits, it's because they believe in the book. It's not because they don't like the book. I think sometimes the immediate impulse with authors is to think that we're kind of critiquing, but we wouldn't be critiquing it and helping if we didn't think it was good. And that's the point. And I think that for me as an author has been really helpful because I work on the other side of it. I know that actually getting edits is a really good thing. And they want the book to do as well as it can.
Well, that's a good point. The editor, the edits, the agent, you're all there to make the book even better, as you say, because you believe in the book and the story. And hopefully you felt that way as well with yours, because I thought open-minded was great. Are we going to see it on a screen somewhere?
I don't know how much I'm allowed to say about that. Fingers crossed. There's good news in the pipeline. But yeah, I mean, it's so funny though with the film and TV side, because you can get an option, but that still a million things need to kind of come together in order for it to actually be on screen. But yeah, hopefully that would be great. I would love a series to be made.
I could see it. I'm not just saying it. You know, again, I love character-led books, and this one, you just was straight away into caring for some of the characters and not caring for others, getting quite cross with others. But that's what the...
Yeah, I'm a fan of an unlikable character.
That makes sense, yes. That comes through for some. So do you have a notepad? Do you have Chloe's notepad of book ideas? Are you always getting ideas? Or when you get one idea, is that it? Focused, book done?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not always getting ideas at all. No, it's very much one idea, then I'll write it, and then be, terribly afraid until the next one arrives. So I've just handed in my book two in this contract, and I don't have any other ideas at the moment. I'm sure one will come. But yeah, I'm not like some of my authors who seem to have about 10 ideas a week. I think as well, because it's kind of, because my writing is so character led, I feel like the people kind of come up first, and it takes a little while.
Yes. Are you ever tempted to write a book about the characters of the authors that you're dealing with and the publishing world?
No, I would never want to write a book about the publishing world. I think I can barely even read books about the publishing world. It's just too close. But, you know, and you, some of the portrayals are very scarily accurate. But then, you know, the other day I rewatched The Proposal with Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds. And the kind of depiction of publishing is so wildly inaccurate. But I was thinking, God, I hope that's not, you know, because I've written Holly, she works in fashion. I was like, I bet there are probably going to be a bunch of fashion people reading this book screaming. That's not how it is. In my head, it's just The Devil Wears Prada.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fiction. Exactly.
It's a good story, and that's what we want. Absolutely. Well, we come to a very important question, Chloe, on this podcast. The last question, but the most crucial one. So, you know, please take time to think about the answer for this. And that is, what biscuit was powering the writing of Open Minded? What is your biscuit of choice?
You know, I'm so sorry. I don't really like biscuits. My writing snack is Malwam. I have packet after packet of Malwam. And I specifically like the orange ones. And my partner, bless him, he's so sweet. He orders me these like industrial size packets of just the orange flavoured Malwams. And they just, keep on coming. So that's what powered my dish.
Fair enough. Well, less crumbs than a biscuit, but you can't dunk them into your cup of tea, or I imagine you can't.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's just great to talk to you and hear more about Open Minded. Chloe Seeger, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been really fun.
Coming up, two book reviews, one fave and one flop.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet Plush Care, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So let's talk about the next book I want to review. My goodness, I loved this book, The Spy Coast by Tess Gerritsen. Okay, for blurb, Philippa, do that before you start going on and on about this brilliant book. Okay, here we go. Maggie Bird is many things: a chicken farmer, a good neighbour, a seemingly average retiree living in the seaside town of Purity. She's also a great shot, and she never talks about her past. But when an unidentified body is left on Maggie's driveway, she knows it's a calling card from old times. It's been 15 years since the failed mission that ended her career as a spy and cost her far more than her job. Step forward, the Martini Club, Maggie's book group, to anyone who asks, and a cohort of former spies behind closed doors. With the help of her old friends and always one step ahead of the persistent local cop, Maggie might be able to save the life she's built. Shall we go for first sentence? I think we should. Chapter 1. Diana. Paris, 10 days earlier. She used to be the golden girl. How things have changed, she thought, staring in the mirror. Her hair, once artfully streaked with sun-kissed highlights, was now what could be only described as dead mouse brown. It was the most unobtrusive shade of hair colour she could find on the shelves at the Monoprix, where she'd gone shopping after a neighbour mentioned that a man had been asking about her. Now, this book is fantastic. I believe it's the start of a series. What I loved about it, among many things, is that with these elements, you think retired spies, book club, martini club, it sounds like it's cozy crime, and it's not. So for me, it was just winning because it's got the elements I love, but it was more gutsy. Oh, just thought it was phenomenal. I loved Maggie's character. I love the other characters as well. It's superbly written. I really mean that. I was into the book straight away, and I didn't want to look up until I had finished it. It is written in a sophisticated way, and I don't mean that in a, you know, oh, you need a degree to read it. No, it's written by someone who knows how to write a story. And I think it's one that everyone would enjoy because it's got every element in. So if you're someone who likes crime books, full crime books, you're going to love it. I think if you've just dipped your toe into the cozy crime books, this is the transition for you. You're in good hands here. It's well written, well laid out, good characters, but it's got this sort of rough edge to it, the rawness of what happens, some awful things, guts and gore. And yeah, bravo. Absolutely bravo. I think you can tell that I like that book quite a bit. The book I didn't like, and I'm going to make enemies here because I am one of the few and far between, I think, on this planet who don't like the book, is Chain Gang All-Stars by Nana Kwame Adegbenye. Now, I'd heard about this book and I thought, this sounds a bit of me. It's set in a prison, it's dystopian, people are having to fight to get freedom, you can place bets on it, it's televised. It just sounded a bit of me. And yet I didn't get on with it. Let me read you the blurb on this one. Welcome to Chain Gang All-Stars, the popular and highly controversial programme inside America's prison system. In packed arenas, watched by millions of live-stream viewers, prisoners compete as gladiators for the ultimate prize, their freedom. Fan favourites Loretta Thirlwall and Hamara Hurricane Stack Stacker are teammates and lovers. Thirlwall is nearing the end of her time on the circuit, free in just a few matches, a fact she carries as heavily as her lethal hammer. As she prepares for her final encounters, as protesters gather at the gates, and as the programme's corporate owners stack the odds against her, will the price be simply too high? Let's do first sentence of this. The freeing of Melancholia Bishop. She felt their eyes, all those executioners. Welcome, young lady, said Mickey Wright, the premier announcer for Chain Gang All-Stars, the crown jewel in the criminal action penal entertainment programme. Why don't you tell us your name? His high boots were planted in the turf of the battleground, which was long and green, stroked with cocaine-white hash marks, like a divergent football field. It was Super Bowl weekend, a fact that Wright was contractually obligated to mention between every match that evening. You know my name. You see, I've just read that and it makes me want to read it again now. I couldn't connect with this book. I didn't feel for the characters. There was so much action and not enough characters. And I am realising how much of a character obsessive I am. And I think that's the case with some of the different genres as well, whether it's fantasy, sci-fi, history. If you lead me into the character, then I'm in. But if you're just throwing lots of information at me and it's a genre I'm not reading proficiently, then I struggle a bit more with it. I really want to. I'm keeping hold of this book. I'm not letting go of it because I will come back to it. But it just didn't work for me. I tell you, there are so many people raving about this book that I'm sure it's just me. Let me know. Have you read this book? What did you think? I just struggle city for Philippa on this one. It just, yeah, it didn't work for me. But as I say, I'll be holding on to it and you never know. But those are the books for today. So what have we featured? We have featured Open Minded by Chloe Seeger. And Chloe very kindly came on, even on a day where I'm having a complete mind melt. Chloe came on very patiently, talked to me about her brilliant book. Then we also had The Spy Coast by Tess Gerritsen. My goodness, get a copy of that book. And then Chain Gang All-Stars, which wasn't, it didn't work for me. I'm sorry. But as I say, I'm holding on to it. I will try a reread. You never know. The premise of it I loved. I didn't get on with it when I was reading it. But there we go. Those are your books. That's what's happening. When I speak to you next week, I will be calm and cool and collected. Everything will be in order, or will be well. I hope you look after yourselves. Look after yourself more than I'm looking after myself at the moment. If I survive the day, it'll be a miracle. There we go. Just look after yourselves and I'll talk to you very soon. Take care now. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the QuickBook Reviews podcast. That's enough books, said no one, ever. See you again soon.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.